you want to know about missions, come and see me. Amen? Praise God. I love missions. And what I love about it, my grandchildren love missions too. Isn't that great? And when it's saying about generations and generations, I'm saying, come on, come on. Amen. I tell you, one of the biggest joys should be part of God's plan to bring freedom, health, encouragement, finances, hope and future to many have no hope. Isn't that amazing, people? We have that opportunity. To those who live in darkness, we look at the darkness around the world. I mean, it's horrendous. But you know, they don't choose to be in darkness. They don't choose it. And I tell you what, people, we can make a difference in that darkness. Amen? I mean, the world's a mess. You know, wars, famine, calamities, everything you can imagine is going on right now. And then you put COVID into the mix. But you know, we can be part of making a difference in the world, people, by not even buying a plane ticket. Is that good? Because you can't buy a plane ticket anyway. So isn't that great? You can still be to those people what they need. I believe God's mission statement, if he had one, was this, that none shall perish. I love the concept from the upper room to the marketplace. Bringing Jesus to a broken world. How, people? First of all, by pressing into God, seeking God's face. See what he sees. Do what he asks us to do. Hear what he's saying and respond to him. Having a heart that says, Lord, have your way in through and through my life so I can show your love to other peoples. Is that your prayer? Is that your life? Pushing into God, asking him to show you, how can I be part of bringing future and life and hope to these people? You know, our prayer should be, Lord, fill us afresh, Lord, with your Holy Spirit so we will be equipped to bring a living Jesus to a dying world. Lord, break our hearts with what breaks yours. We can sit here and complain about everything, but I tell you, this is our prayer. This is what our prayer should be. I believe the time is now. I believe we can reach more people than we never reached before. I believe we can help people out there in the other countries like never before. Amen? We are the answer. We are the answer, people. And my prayer is, Lord, fill us afresh, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. So we'll be equipped to bring a living Jesus to a dying world. As I said before, Lord, break our hearts with what breaks yours. Let us be so connected to you, Lord, that we will declare your glory among the nations. Lord, let us come into your presence, the upper room. What is the upper room when we turn aside and spend time with God, just worshiping him? And take that presence, that power into the marketplace. And I tell you, we have so much opportunity right now to take that power into the marketplace. Amen? That our lives will declare the glory of the Lord to all people. That we will see miracles, because here we serve a miracle-working God. That we'll see healings. We'll see deliverances. We'll see salvations. We'll see hurting people given hope. The poor being fed. The lost found. And lives becoming fruitful. Now is the time, amen. Now is the time, people, to reach deep and reach out to these people. See, God called us to go into the world by giving, by going, by praying, by sending, by spreading the message of his love and salvation and practical help wherever. That's what we're called to do, people. The best way to do this is how? By listening to God. Spending time with him, which is the upper room, and being led by the Holy Spirit to reach those in need. I call that the marketplace. What an opportunity we have right now to meet those needs. You know, we can share God's message, people, by simply showing compassion, by simply showing concern and meeting the basic needs where we possibly can. That is the true message of Christ. Jesus not only cares about the needs of the poor, the vulnerable, the sick, the oppressed, and the starving. He identifies with their needs, people. He identifies with them. and he brings healing, hope, miracles, and meets every need. That's the Jesus we serve. How do we do that? By being in the upper room and saying, God, what can I do? What can I give? What can I say? Oh, God, put people in my life that I can help any way I can. Let us look at Psalm 96, verses 1 to 4. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless the name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Don't you love that scripture, people? You know what that psalm is saying to us? It's telling us to sing to the Lord a new song. People saying, you know, what can we do at this time when everything's so tragic everywhere? I'm telling you what, he wants us to sing a new song. Throughout scripture, when a new song is sung, it is a song inspired people by a fresh experience of God's love and grace, God's power, God's deliverance, God's wisdom, God's salvation. Amen? That's a new song that he wants us to sing. Not how hard it is for us, but the song to sing that he is more than able. You know, the psalmist is saying, sing to the Lord all the earth. Time to sing a new song, people, of his glory and grace and power. I tell you what, he's putting a new song in our hearts. And it's about others. It's about compassion. It's about reaching people. It's about drawing people to Jesus Christ. That's the song he's putting in our hearts. Amen? Not about us, me, 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 more, more, more. But what can we do for you, Lord? How can we be your hands? How can we be your feet? How can we touch these people? How can we change the people's lives in India and all those countries? I'm telling you, we can by singing a new song. Praise God. In other words, what am I saying? A new insight into his words. Times we are in. We need to know the times we are in, people. And we need to be listening to what God is telling us to do as we are in these difficult times. We need a greater spirit of intercession on our hearts. We need to be overflowing with generosity to others. You might be saying, well, I haven't got much myself. I tell you what, give away what you've got and you'll get more. Because that's the way God works. Our motivation should be to bring God, to see God glorified in all this. I want to see God glorified. Even in COVID-19, I want to see God glorified. Amen? Don't you? Motivation being to see God glorified. I keep saying that. Bringing restoration to people, touching people, being with people, helping people. A new song of victory. Come on, people. We should be singing a new song of victory. A song that is written on our hearts in the upper room. Spending time with him. A song that will see the oppressed go free. I want to see the oppressed go free. Amen. I was preaching last night and I had a young man I was praying for. I'd never seen anybody so oppressed, so ruled by the devil in all my life. And I've seen most of it. And you know what? I have to stand there and say, be delivered in Jesus' name. Be delivered in Jesus' name. Come on. We have the power in Christ to make a difference. A song that will dismantle injustice. Not talk about injustice, all this stuff, but you know what? We need to dismantle injustice, people. We've got to start singing a new song. And we need to come against everything that opposes God. We need to come against it. You know, we need to take the upper room experience, spending time with him and moving out in the world, in the marketplace, with a fresh anointing, a fresh song. I tell you, we need to have a new song. It's different times, a new song. God always has a song for the time. Oh, Jesus. Bringing hope and future. How, people? By praying, by going, and by giving. I tell you what, God has anointed us, anointed you. Every one of you have been anointed and appointed to take his power and presence into the marketplace and declare him to the world. Oh, but what have I got? I've got nothing. Yes, you've got the Lord. You've got a new song in your mouth. We need to allow the love of Christ in us to be seen, and that can be in many different ways. I counted 90 verses, and I'm sure there's more, that talks about the needy, the poor, the lost, and the homeless in the Word of God. More than 90, and there would be a lot more. Proverbs 14:31 says this, "He who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he who honors him has mercy on the needy." You know what? We need a new song of true mercy. Don't we, people? A new song of true mercy. James 2:15-16 says, "If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warm and filled,' but do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit?" A new song of being the answer to people's needs. Deuteronomy 24:19 says, "When you reap your harvest in your field and forfeit a sheep in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. That the Lord your God may bless you in all the works of your hands." I tell you what, we need a new song of generosity. A new song of generosity, people. Deuteronomy 15:11, "For the poor will never cease from the land. Therefore I command you, saying, you shall open your hand wide to your brother, to the poor and the needy in your land." I tell you, we need to have a new song of obedience to God's word. Not what we got or what we haven't got, but obedience to his word. 1 John 3:17, "But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him?" We need to sing a new song of self-sacrifice and a new song of compassion. And I believe God's giving us that new song. Amen. Proverbs 29 says, "The righteous considers the cause of the poor, but the wicked does not understand such knowledge." You know what? We need to sing a new song of righteousness by being concerned for the poor. Oh, the poor. How can we touch the poor? Started Lynette Tober Ministries quite a few years ago, but I think now it's been 2009, which is a long story, but God really placed it on our hearts. David and me had been to India quite a lot. David, my husband, was actually born there, but, you know, on our heart, and he put it to our heart to buy saris for the widows. So we started buying saris for widows, and I think right back there at that time, this church actually, you know, held a lunch and everything for us to raise money to buy these saris. But, you know, we've been doing that, and I think we've handed out about 20,000 saris over that time, which has been quite a while. But, of course, COVID came, so things changed. Because, you know, people are starving in India, absolute starving. What you read is not really what's happening. I get calls nearly every day, and I'm telling you, they are starving, but the government's not going to tell you that. And most of them are dying from starvation anyway because there is no food. You know, the moment that COVID came, the Prime Minister shut down India in three hours. Can you imagine shutting down a country in 3 hours? He gave them no notice whatsoever. And there's millions and millions of workers in India who live by the day. They're contractors. They live on the property. They have their family on the property. They feed on the property. They get about 20 cents a day. And you know what? In 3 hours, it was all shut down. Those millions and millions were turned out with absolutely nothing. They didn't have a cent. They absolutely had nothing. So what did they didn't know what to do. But, you know, they started walking back to their country town where they came from. But, you know, some of that was 9,000 kilometres. And I'm telling you, these people, they had their children, their bags. bags. They walked 9,000 kilometres, 6,000, 5,000, whatever, trying to get back and get back to where they came from so they could get some food. But when they got there, they were turned away because they might have had COVID. I'm talking about millions of people. And, you know, of course, there's injustice in India. And, you know, it's terrible what the government's even doing. But I'm telling you, these people are starving because of all this. I remember a pastor crying and said, those people are the backbone of Mumbai. Mumbai's a big city now, and they've made it that way. But, you know, overnight, they were turned away with absolutely nothing. Can you imagine it, people? But you know what? We've been feeding these people. I just can't tell you the money that's been pouring in, because you know what? God's singing a new song. And we've been able to pour money in to help some of these people. And not only that, but bringing the hope and the love of God. You know, we're concentrating more on supplying food, because as I said, more people are dying from starvation than COVID. You know what? This is what the cries I get. I tell you, the cry of millions of people is their loved ones are no more. They don't say they died. No more. I get calls. He's no more. She's no more. They are no more. People are just dying everywhere. And if I was walking down the street, even with my own daughter, suddenly I could just drop dead on the spot. I could have shown I had nothing wrong with me, and I just dropped dead. My daughter has to keep on walking, has to leave me there. Her mother, you know why? Because if she touches me, she will die of COVID. That's the situation they're in. And, you know, the women there, you know, the widows, can you imagine? They go out mostly to the richest places, and they work there. Well, they're not allowed to have jobs because they'll bring COVID into their place. Well, they get up in the morning. They haven't got a dime to buy any food for their children. And people say, you know, oh, but they do everything on the black market. I tell you what, if I woke up in the morning and I couldn't feed my kids, I'd go on the black market. You know, please, let's see it for what it is. Let's see it. But what it is, people, you know, it's just been a nightmare, and they're hiding all the oxygen tanks, and they can't get oxygen, and it's not just the poor people, it's the rich people, it's everybody is just being struck down by this terrible COVID. I'm telling you, every family's lost somebody, and the worst thing is, if you've been to India or any of those countries, you'll see there's children everywhere. They don't belong to anyone. You could be out at 11 o'clock, at 12 o'clock at night, and children, little ones are like that, are carrying babies across the street, because that's the way it is. But you know what? Those children, thank you. I have to stop shouting, eh? Good idea. But you ask my kids, I don't know how to do that. Sorry. So these children are dropping dead from COVID. Helen, you've got to wait. These children are dropping dead from COVID. You know what they're doing? They're just piling them up in piles, 8, 10, 12 children, and burning them. And you know what? Those parents will never know that they've even died. Those parents will never find them. This is what's facing this country and other countries, but you are supporting India. Praise God. Most people lost their jobs. Even pilots, we've got pilot friends. They have no work, they have no money, they have nothing. I tell you, the hospitals just turn people away. Actually, you wouldn't want to go to the hospital because you die in the hospital. There's no beds, lying on the streets. You know, loved ones watching as their loved ones gasp like a fish out of water with no breaths, no oxygen. The black market is horrendous. There's no wood to cremate the people, so they just cremate them in big mobs. Children, as I said, no more. The word no more, if I heard that word no more anymore, I'll just start crying. Devastating. But I tell you what, people, there's also many heroes risking their lives every day, feeding, helping, praying, and praying they don't take it home to their family. I have two such heroes These heroes are pastors. One is older, one is younger. Daily pushing it back against hopelessness. They're bringing the word of God and often giving their lives to do that. Actually, Gabriel, the pastor, his wife is very sick at this very moment. And we are praying that she hasn't got COVID. But you know, the Christians are being persecuted in India, which is not on the news. You know why they're being persecuted? Because the government is telling them that the Christians have caused COVID. So now they're getting persecuted. The churches are being burned. They are being killed everywhere. But we don't hear about it on the news. A Christian family that I knew actually, house was burnt down. They were up in the Himalayas. And they just burnt the church down because they were Christians and they must have caused COVID. Even in Delhi, there was a big cathedral, Catholic cathedral, burnt down, which never came on the news. These men and women out there, there's thousands and thousands of them, pastors, all sorts of people who are heroes. And they make it possible for us to get the food that we supply to these people. They are the heroes. We supply the money, people. We can put the money in. But these are the heroes. And they are pushing against hopelessness and grief and despair. But they push through this darkness by bringing food and medicine. Medicine has gone up by about 1,000 times in a price. There was a pastor up in Jalna, actually, which my granddaughter supports. And he was dying and he was put in hospital. And I spoke to Gabriel, my hero. I said, get him out of the hospital. Get him into the house. They got him into the house. And so got out away from all that infection in the hospital. Then we had to give needles. You know what? They wanted $550 for 3 injections. Where is ever they going to get that money? They wouldn't get that money in a year. But we got that money. We got him out of there. We got him into a house. We got him into a clean place. We got him the injections. And that pastor is a pastor over many pastors in India. And he is alive today. How do you know it wasn't your cent you put in that paid for that? How do you know that? How do you know that? How do you know where your money's going? This is where it's going, feeding and healing and saving people's lives. That's where it's going. And we say, what does God want us to do? Well, I tell you what he wants to do. Be compassionate and help others live lives. Amen. Praise God. These men and women are heroes. They're heroes. And that hero I was talking about then, he distributes food. He does everything, night and day. And you know what? His wife's Australian. They have been locked up. She has been locked up into a fifth floor flat, little tiny flat, for 18 months and been outside once with 2 little children. And today she is sick. But we're believing for healing for her. We're feeding thousands of people. That is the truth. Feeding thousands of people. We're getting medication to them. It just goes on and on and on. And now we're handing out cooked food, all sorts of things that we can do. And then that's the pastor, Gabriel, who's in Mumbai and all that area. He does all up north. And then, you know, it's amazing how God works, because at the end of last year, I was called in because, you know, the Victory Life were having their Bible school graduation. They had about 90 people that were graduated. And I was rung about 2 days before because the pastor couldn't come. And Margaret said, can you help us? I said, help you do what? And she said, come and prophesy over 90 people and then preach for an hour. I thought, oh, bring it on. I didn't say it after I finished, I can tell you. Oh my gosh, I'm too old for all this, I said. But we're not. Anyway, but it was interesting, God had another plan. And I'm telling you this story not to boost myself, but, you know, I had to prophesy of these people. There's a young Indian man in that place. I didn't know who he was. He'd just finished the 2 years course, and I did know he was going back to India. And so, you know, I pulled him out, and I started prophesying over him and spoke into his life. And, you know, and then I went home, and it's all over. And then I get a call from Victory Life saying, you know, that young man you prayed for, he would like to come and see you. Can we possibly give you his phone number and address? I said, that's fine. So Dave and me were home, and he came with another friend to the house, lovely young man, about 27 years of age. I didn't know God was setting me up to support him. I didn't know that, okay? So he comes, and, you know, he said, I want to show you something. I wrote this leaflet out long before you came of my plan to do in India. And she said, and I started reading into it. And you know what? I prophesied word to word that plan over his life. I'm not putting myself up. I'm telling you, God had me set up. And so he had me really set up. Anyway, so this young man goes back. Wasn't long before he's in touch with me, you know, supporting and all that. And you wouldn't believe what he's doing. He's 27 years of age. You would not believe. I'm going to show you a short thing. It's about him, but what he does. And he ended up with COVID. I wondered why. He lays down with the people and feeds them and all that kind of stuff, this young man. But, you know, God had it all set up. And sometimes I didn't know why I went out there that morning and why I did what I did. But you know what? God knew, because this young man is so incredible. But he does funny things like, you know, I'm trying to keep very secret because I want to get back into India. And then I look at all this stuff and there he's got a great big picture of me. Great big picture of me that he's showing over all the videos and everything. I'm saying, don't do that. They'll never let me back in India. But I tell you, he's really got it, you know. He knows how to push my buttons and I say, no more, no more. Oh, yeah, I give him more, 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 more. Praise God. You know, we can push back evil. We can push back evil by just giving. Can you imagine $1 can save a life? And we sit home and saying, we can't do anything. Really? Come and see me. See, poverty brings hopelessness, sickness, premature death, crime, wars, and COVID has caused havoc, especially among the poor. We can be part of pushing back the evil that is trying to consume the world by singing a new song, getting hold of what he can do with us and through us. How do we do that? By coming from the upper room to the marketplace. You know, because men and women will become our hands and feet and sacrifice their lives. Our finances are making a difference because of those what I call heroes. I'll leave you these promises for your life from the God of more, who promises that as you minister in the marketplace to ones in need, God will in turn bless us. Isn't that amazing? He will bless us. Proverbs 22:9 says, he who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the Lord. Hey, be ready for God's blessing in your life. Proverbs 19:17, he who has pity on the poor lends to the poor, and he, God, will pay back. Hey, how's that? That's a good deal, isn't it? We give to the poor, and God said he will pay the bill back to us. I think that's pretty good. Don't you reckon? I'll read it again properly. For he who has pity on the poor lends to the poor, and he will pay back what is given. God himself will give back to us with a greater generosity. Oh, people, let us pray. Let us pray. I'm praying that you'll get a new song. A new song, not just about missions, but you'll get a new song. A new song. That you'll be drawn to the upper room. That you'll be drawn to pull away and to speak to God. That you will be drawn by him. And you'll spend time with him. And you know what? Even with that, you'll start to listen. Listen to what God is saying. Not what the news is saying. It drives me nuts. But not news, but what God is saying. What does he want you to do? He knows exactly what's going on in the world right now. And he's got you marked to help him to do what he wants. He needs us. We're God's heroes. If we do what God wants us to do, he wants us to be his heroes. Oh, Father, I pray such an anointing on people right now. And Father, for those ones that are going through such a difficult time, we're not pushing away that difficult times. But Father, I just pray right now, a new song will come in their hearts. Those that have been hurt, those that have been disappointed, those that have been betrayed, those that have had terrible things happen in their lives, I pray right now, a new song will start in your spirit. A new song will start. I pray in Jesus' name.